Hare Krishna. We welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for this very special once a year festival of Sharad Purnima. In Vrindavan, even today, it is in certain ways the most special festival of the year, where each and every temple bring their deities into gardens and forests, courtyards in the moonlight, with beautiful offerings, beautiful songs, to celebrate this event. And we're very honored this year to have special guests on this special day. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, the presiding deities are Sri Radha Sharad Bihari, which means Radharani and Krishna, who enjoys the full moon rasa dance of the month of Sharad. And since the early 70s, that extraordinary personality who has been doing seva for those deities is with us. Let us welcome Rabindra Swarup Prabhu. And we also have, we've already welcomed Shesha Prabhu and Trinavata Prabhu, Karta Mataji, Virabahu Prabhu, Kavichandra Swami Maharaj, Nartaki, and to all of you. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Rasa Leela. In certain ways, one of the most popular pastimes of all the Vedic literatures, and also the most misunderstood. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas have taught that Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of Krishna, he compiled the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. He expanded with the 108 primary Upanishads and many others as well. And then the Itihastas, the histories, the Mahabharata, including Bhagavad Gita, the Puranas. And extracted the essence from all this knowledge, all this history, all this tradition, and wrote the Vedanta Sutras. But in Bhadrikashram, in his home, while sitting on the bank of the Saraswati River, he was feeling an emptiness. And because he is paradukaduki, he is seeing that another's happiness is my happiness and another's suffering is my suffering. And dukalayam ashashvatam. Ultimately, however happy we are in this material world, everything's temporary. The inevitable, by the power of time or the three modes of nature, there will be old age, disease, death, and rebirth. Adiatmaka, adiadaivaka, adibhotaka. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances. Just like Shraddha Devi and Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, they were supposed to leave tonight. but there's someone named Sandy who appeared as a massive hurricane. And she's kind of not just a hurricane, but she's like a cross-cultural hurricane. She's mixed with a winter storm, and all the flights are canceled. And according to the news, 60 million Americans are going to be affected by this storm. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're learned, whether you don't know anything about education, whether you're a brahmachari or grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, still the hurricane comes. It's not that it touches someone and not something. That's the way the world is. So the only true happiness is to transcend the miseries of this world by realizing our own spiritual essence. Mamayvam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. That we're all part and parcel of Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunai. Love of Krishna is within everyone's heart. And a saintly person, when they see somebody is bereft of that love for Krishna, not in knowledge of the eternal nature of the soul, satchidananda, they cry out of compassion. So out of compassion, Vyasadeva was feeling something empty. And then Narada Muni appeared, his guru, and told him, you explain in Vedas, you explain the absolute truth, but it's very, very mixed up with so many ways for people to find some better quality of life through artha kama dhamma moksha, through economic development, through sense gratification, through piety, or through liberation. But you have not yet given a literature that exclusively explains the very highest essence of unmotivated love. And with this inspiration, Vedavyas wrote his commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. The essence of the essence of all knowledge in a beautiful form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prochita kaitaravat. That the very beginning, he says that this scripture kicks out all subordinate or cheating religious principles. Anything less than the ultimate goal of unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord is not going to be discussed here. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yathobaktir rokshiche. He tells us from the beginning that the supreme occupation or dharma, the supreme religion for all living beings, is that which brings about unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the supreme truth, or Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are such histories of such exalted devotees and their loving relationship with the Lord. The Pandavas, Parikshit, Shukadev, Prahlad, Dhruva, Ambarish, Aranti Dev, Hanuman, Vibhishan. And the culmination is the 10th canto. All these descriptions of pure loving service. Dairamji, please sit with us here. Yes, yes, please. Welcome. Let us welcome Dairam Prabhu, one of the. Much louder than that, please. Thank you. The service he does is another class. We don't have time for that. And the culmination is Krishna, who appears in his all-beautiful, all-merciful, all-loving original form. In the first canto, Krishna, ete changsha kala pungsha, Krishna stu bhagavan svaya. That there are many incarnations, many avatars, many ways that the Lord appears within this world over history to reestablish religious principles, to protect the innocent, or to annihilate ignorance in the ignorance. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. But the Bhagavatam claims, but the original, complete fullness of the absolute truth is Krishna, who is all attractive. And he descends into this world. And we read about Krishna's beautiful appearance in the world, his childlike pastimes, where he's a little baby crawling, learning to walk. And as soon as he starts walking, he's stealing butter from gopis. And meanwhile, every day or so, he's killing some gigantic asura. And his beautiful Sakyaras Leela with his cowherd friends, and that very culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the crescendo of all truths, of all knowledge, of all scriptures, is in these five chapters of the Rasa Leela. Now, before we give a brief outline of the Rasa Leela, let us understand its nature. It is the highest revelation of the pure, liberated Atma or soul's love or prem for Krishna, the Absolute Truth. There is not a tinge of ego, selfishness, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, or illusion. It is spotless. Shukadev Goswami, we know his story. He was totally liberated from any material desires or attachment while he was in the womb of his mother. And even the greatest sages throughout the world were assembled to Parikshit Maharaj's last 7 days. They all considered Shukadev so pure, so liberated, that he was the most qualified of anyone in the universe to speak. Shukadev Goswami, how he honors and worships this Ras Leela as the highest expression of pure love. In fact, he tells that anyone with sincere faith, and it takes years to develop this sincere faith, anyone who with sincere faith hears this story becomes completely cleansed of any materialistic, egoistic desires. That is the purity. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the crushed jewel of all sannyasis, he taught us that there is no yogis, there is no transcendentalists who have achieved such a high peak of spiritual realization as the gopis of Vrindavan, who are simple cowherd girls who simply know nothing but their love for Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he gave up, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they gave up massive fortunes and beautiful families to live the most difficult lives from a material perspective of austerity. They slept under a different tree every night in Vrindavan. They would just beg for some dry rotis and chickpeas. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, did you ever see some of the places he lives? In Sanket, for years and years, he lived in an underground cave. You can't stand up. You have to crawl down into it. And then after you crawl, you could sit and your head's just touching and there's no ventilation whatsoever. And he would be down there just in the ecstasy of chanting the holy names and remembering Sri Sri Radha Krishna's beautiful pastimes. Raghunath Das Goswami, how he lived, what was the nature of his life? He would just take a little leaf with some buttermilk on it once a day. And while he was drinking it, he was thinking, how condemned I am that I'm wasting so much time for my sense enjoyment. We cannot imitate that. These are the people who are telling us the purest, highest form of ecstatic love is the gopis. So with this understanding, they've already transcended all ego and selfishness and all material desires. It is Krishna reciprocating with them. And bhakti. Today, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu quoted Srila Prabhupada that he said that a definition of bhakti is cooperation. Now, on our level, you know what that means. Just to stop fighting. To stop arguing with each other. And param drishtvani vartati, to unite on a higher principle despite our differences. But on a higher and higher level, cooperation is no desire for any ego-selfish fulfillment. A complete giving of oneself for the pleasure of our beloved. That's seva. Seva means unconditional service. Krishna, on this night of Sarat Purnima, as the full moon, Srila Prabhupada explains that this full moon tonight in Vrindavan is the most beautiful night of the year. He even says so many people go to the Taj Mahal just to see the moon on the dome of the marvel. But by Krishna's grace, we're not there. And when Krishna saw the beautiful full moon, the Vrindavan Chandra, the moon of Vrindavan rising, and its rays just opening up the special fragrant lotus flowers in the Yamuna. And the moon was enticing the jasmine, the malati flowers to open and spread nectarine fragrances. And the moon was inducing the peacocks and the parrots to be singing beautiful songs. And Krishna, within his heart of heart, awakened this deep desire to give the highest pleasure to his most intimate loving devotees, the gopis. So he stood under the Bamsibat tree near the bank of Yamuna, and he placed his flute to his lips, which are brilliant and shining like the bimba fruit. And the love of his heart poured in the form of his breath through the holes of the flute. And that love of his heart, when it went through the holes of his flute, it transformed into a beautiful song. It was literally Krishna's infinite love for his gopis manifesting in a sound vibration that was so sweet. Our deities, Radha Gopinath. Gopinath's playing that same song for us. But we have to have the ears, we have to have the love to hear it. And when that beautiful flute song spread through the environment of Sri Braj Bhumi, it entered into the ears of gopis and then literally stole their hearts. He was calling for them. And for gopis, they manifested the supreme excellence of renunciation. They dropped, put aside anything and everything, and ran to the forest to reciprocate with Krishna. Krishna was playing the flute simply to make them happy, and they were going only to make him happy. Some were cooking. And the preparation is just boiling. They were so eager to be with Krishna, they didn't even take the pot off the fire. They just let it boil over. Others were serving their families dinner, and they just put down the pot and left. Family, where are you going? They didn't have time to say anything. It's the night. Others were nursing their babies. They just put their baby down and left. Others were getting dressed. They heard it, and they just were practically half-dressed. They knew they had to get dressed, but they were in such a rush, they put the top part of their clothing on the bottom part of their body and the bottom part on the top, and I don't know what that looked like, but they ran to the forest. They didn't concern themselves with what people are going to say, with social violations of social etiquette. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Our acharyas explain this is the very essence of the personification of this verse on the highest level. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. Because they did it with pure love. And through the night forest, they arrived on the bank of Yamuna, where they met with Krishna. And Krishna was so happy to see them. He smiled and he glanced. The love of his, the infinite love of his heart flowing through his glance, flowing through his smile, flowing through his words. And he said, I'm so happy that you are here. You have come to see me. And you must be so happy that you have seen the moonlit forests of Vrindavan. Just see how the moon is shining and reflecting so beautifully upon each leaf and each flower and the singing of the birds. You have satisfied me with your love. You have seen the moonlit forest. Now you should go home. Because you have duties to your families. He went on and on with this advice. And as he was speaking, the gopis were looking down on the ground and they were crying and they were drawing little curved lines with their toes in the dust of the earth. And finally, when he stopped speaking, they were really the highest philosophers because they had realized the ultimate goal. They said, what you're saying is what we're doing. After all, you are the Paramatma. You are the life force in every living being. The only reason we love anyone is because you're present in their heart. When you leave someone, they're a dead corpse. In other words, what they were saying is what the Bhagavatam explains: when you water the root of the tree, that water goes to every part of the tree, to every leaf, every branch, every flower, every twig. And Krishna, you're the root of everything. You're the life force, the prananath of everyone. So by serving you and pleasing you, we are fulfilling all our duties for everyone. And Krishna was so pleased, he accepted. And then he began to reciprocate with the devotion of each gopi in such a way that each gopi was thinking. They were singing together. They were dancing together. Each gopi was thinking, Krishna's only with me. Krishna's Rasa Bihari. When it comes to rasa or spiritual relationships, Krishna can perfectly, fully, ever increasingly satisfy all of his devotees. See, you and me, if we pay attention to someone, then we can't pay attention to someone else. But Krishna, in the spiritual world, there are unlimited devotees in so many forms, with so many personalities, and Krishna simultaneously, intimately, everyone is thinking Krishna's with me. That's Krishna's power. Can you imagine having a lover like this? One of the expansions of Krishna in his Vasudev feature in Dwarka was living with 16,108 queens simultaneously. But in the highest realm of love, Vrindavan, each gopi was thinking, Krishna's just with me. How is this? All these loving, loving, loving devotees are all around and Krishna just never leaves me. Krishna, when he performs his leelas, there are so many levels of ras and also philosophical, social, characteristically instructive lessons as well. Krishna wanted to show the world he will not tolerate pride in a devotee. And what is pride? I am better than everyone else. The gopis were thinking like this in a very pure way, that I must be better than everyone else because he's only with me. At that moment, Krishna disappeared from everyone. And the gopis were completely humbled. Of course, this was not material pride. But for those of us with material pride, this is the lesson we have to learn. Krishna leaves us when we give in to our false egos. And sometimes he teaches basic lessons on the highest platform to the highest devotees. But he explains why he left later. We'll get to that, providing I don't speak too much. When Krishna disappeared, the gopis went completely mad in separation. Of course, we know this vipralamba bhav is the highest union with the Lord. There's sambhog and vipralamba, the love of meeting Krishna and the love of being in separation from Krishna. And the two forever nourish the sweetness of the other. Because for a sincere devotee, Krishna is never separate. But that appearance of being physically separate causes the devotee, in those feelings of apparent unhappiness, to go deeper and deeper and deeper into their heart, where in remembering Krishna, Krishna is embracing them at the very core of their very souls. That is vipralamba. They were so intoxicated with their love for Krishna, They began to search. They were asking each and every tree of the forest. They left the bank of the Yamuna and went deeper and deeper into the forest. Oh, Tamal tree. Oh, banyan tree. Oh, Kadamba tree. Have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj? They were asking the deers. They were asking the stars, the sky, the moon, the flowers, the earth. Oh, Mother Earth, you are so fortunate. Krishna steps on you with his lotus footprints. Who is more fortunate than you? You must know where Krishna is. Where did he go? But nobody answered. And they started manifesting Krishna's pastimes. One gopi would become Putana, one would become Krishna. One would become Krishna, one would become Shakatashura. And they were replaying all of these leelas in the forest. And as they were going deeper and deeper, they found another set of footprints next to Krishna's. And they were speaking among themselves how Krishna has left all of us who have surrendered our lives with love for one gopi. And that one gopi, her worship, her love is superior to all others. This is the place in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the culmination, the secret purpose of the Bhagavatam is manifested. The supreme glory of that one gopi, Srimati Radharani. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shaktiratma. That the one absolute truth eternally has these two forms of Radha Krishna. Krishna is the supreme Vishaya, object of love. Sri Radha is the supreme whole of the Ashraya, the abode of love. She's the source of all love. All love that anyone has is only an infinitesimal part and parcel of Radha's love. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this concept is developed where Krishna wants to taste the sweetness of Radha's love because it's the highest happiness, the deepest spiritual revelation. So Krishna left the highest of the highest of all devotees to be with Sri Radha. And then as they're seeing the footprints, I don't have time to go into too many details, and I'm not qualified to go into any details. But they're seeing how she must have been tired, because now there's only one set of footprints. Krishna must be carrying her. And then they saw there was only very deep toe prints. Krishna must have put her down and he must be reaching over to get flowers to pick just for her. What is her fortune? And here we see from the ground the prints that Krishna must have taken all those flowers to decorate her hair. And then Sri Radharani said to Krishna, I'm tired. Can you carry me? And Krishna said, yes, of course. And then he disappeared. Because she started thinking that I'm better than all the other gopis. Look at what Krishna's doing for me. Even Radharani can't get away with false pride in this way. But this is not false pride. But that's what we have to learn from it. Pure pride. So then they see Radharani sitting and crying. And she tells the whole story to the other gopis, and they're searching for Krishna. And they come to a place so deep in the forest
the trees were so thick that not a single beam of moonlight can get through it. It was pitch dark. They couldn't even see his footprints. So they all went back to the Yamuna River and performed Sankirtan. Together, they sang the beautiful Gopi Gita. I remember some years ago I was in Vrindavan and Dairam Prabhu came. It was during the month of Kartik. And he sang the whole Gopi Gita by memory to me. He would do this every day. Now he's battling court cases. But in those days he used to sing Gopi Gita every day. And in his heart, that's what he wants to do. But just see his surrender. The Gopi Gita is the songs of the love of the gopis in separation from Krishna. Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, all these gopis. And as they were singing together, Sankirtan, they were crying out the glories of Krishna. They were crying out the sweetness and the beauty and the mercy of Krishna. And they're especially crying out Krishna's love for his devotees. And in that one verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam, they express the nectarine sound vibration of Krishna's names, glories, and pastimes is so sweet. It can purify all people's hearts. It can conquer our minds and awaken our love. And those who are spreading these glories of Harikatha, they are the most merciful bestowers of good fortune to the whole world. And when we read this, we think of Srila Prabhupada, who spread the glories of Krishna all over the world through his books, through his lectures, through his projects, through his devotees. As they were singing with such emotion, with such love together, they were literally crying for Krishna. And at that moment, Krishna, on the bank of the Yamuna, appeared and smiled upon them. And they all started reciprocating with his glances and his smiles. It was heart-to-heart love, and every expression and everything they did with their body was the love of their souls. The gopis asked Krishna three questions. And I will end with this very, very rasic, philosophical explanation of what is true love and what is the nature of Krishna's love. The gopi said that some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate toward them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical. And yet others will not show affection toward anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so-called friends who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. May I read that again? Just in case this may have some application to ourselves. So-called friends who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit from themselves, they would not reciprocate. Krishna continues, "My dear gopis, some people are genuinely merciful." He's speaking second example of gopis. We remember the first one was some people reciprocate affection with those who are affectionate toward them. Krishna said they are selfish, so-called friends, because it was more about themselves. Some people, they asked, they show affection to everyone, even those who are inimical or indifferent to them. Krishna says these people are genuinely merciful, or like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devotedly serve, even those who fail to reciprocate with them, are following the true faultless path of religion, and they are true well-wishers. The third category the gopis asked about was those who don't show affection to anyone. Krishna says, then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful, or simply envious of superiors. Such persons will not love even those who love them. What to speak of those who are inimical? Those who are spiritually self-satisfied, they don't want to get entangled in all these such relationships. So some of those people, they don't reciprocate affection with anybody. Those who are very temporarily, materially fulfilled, they don't need anything from anyone. So they don't reciprocate affection with them. And then there are those who are envious, even of well-wishers. Somebody has something more than me, more fame, better skills, more beauty, more wealth, whatever it may be, even if they're affectionate toward you, envious. Or those who are arrogant. And Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna explains here, those who are simply ungrateful. Now they were kind of saying that about Krishna, the gopis, because they surrendered their lives to him, and he left them. Krishna continues, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas, and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, Please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. Napariyeham niravadyasam yujam. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. In this interaction between Krishna and gopis, Krishna is revealing to us, even when we sincerely, earnestly, honestly try to surrender our hearts to Krishna, when it appears that he's not reciprocating out of his love, that separation is only to intensify our love. Whatever Krishna does is perfect. In the case of the gopis, the love between Krishna and gopis is infinitely, eternally, ever increasing. It is the ultimate aspiration of every devotee to be following in the footsteps of gopis. We cannot imitate. So much so that Lord Brahma wants to be a little piece of grass in Vrindavan, so gopis will step upon his head. And Uddhava, Krishna's dearest, most intimate friend, wants to be a little gulmamat lata, a little clump of grass, so the gopis will step upon his head. When we hear the story of Rasalila, where Srimati Radharani's supreme glories are revealed, and the love of the gopis is so beautifully expounded by the greatest sages, we can get a glimpse of the gift of what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the world through the congregational chanting of the holy names. We can gain a glimpse of what Srila Prabhupada came to give the world. The nature of the gopis, they never thought they were great. They simply served with love, with such simple, pure love. That is our ultimate aspiration, to simply serve with pure love. And now Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are about to reveal once a year only this special Sarat Purnima Darshan. And with our hearts of hearts, we will express our gratitude and express our will to follow in their footsteps by surrendering our selfishness, our egos, for the highest goal of the pleasure of the Lord. And we will celebrate through our prayers and through our song. Thank you very much.